everybody to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. It's Friday, Hetaru's Day, and I hope everybody's having a wonderful day. Hope you're enjoying it. Of course, being peaceful and joyful wherever you are. And I'm just thankful to have another opportunity to come before you again and bring you another powerful, powerful show packed with information that can just change your life. If you're open to it and you're receptive, then this information can actually change your life, enhance your life, and improve the quality of your life. And so I'm very, very thankful. If you've been following the show for a while, you know that for the last several Fridays, we've had an awesome, awesome series that we've been doing with a very, very powerful brother, Orwa, Ehi Metura Nkamit. That's Orwa, Dr. H.R. Nkamit. He's been very, very gracious in coming on my show and sharing information about the seven divisions of the spirit. Been an awesome, awesome series. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, I encourage you to scroll down the archives, start with part one. We're on part six now, and just work your way up. Part one starts with the overview, lays the foundation of what are the seven divisions of the spirit, and then we go through them one by one. And tonight, that series will culminate in the sixth show, and we will be discussing the Ba division of the spirit tonight. Again, my special guest is Orwa, Dr. H.R. Nkamit, and if you're just tuning in for the first time and you just don't know who he is, I guarantee you by the end of the show you will, but let me tell you a little bit about my brother. Orwa, Ehi Metura Nkamit, has been a member of the Osir Aset Society since 1975. He was appointed Orwa, which is Paramount King, by Shechem Meshechem Ra'unefer Amen. Now, as chief priest and king of the Osir Aset Society, Shechem Meshechem has the authority to do that, and that is exactly what he did. And as Orwa Ehi Metura Nkamit, he's responsible for guiding the lives of Osir Aset members and the society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He is a member of the society's Kerry Hebb priesthood, and he headed Osir Aset's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University, and is also the proud recipient of a doctorate degree as well. And he's also an author. He's written an awesome book, and many of you in the family, community, know of African Names, the Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. Again, this book has been very, very pivotal in the naming of thousands of people with comedic names. And so I want to encourage everybody to find out how you can get that, and we'll tell you how to get that also within the course of the show. But for the last several weeks, as I mentioned, we've been doing a series on the seven divisions of the spirit. And again, Brother Orwa has been gracious enough to take time out of his busy schedule to come on and share with us. And it's always, it's an honor to have my brother back with us. I say, Necharak Orwa, thank you so much for being my guest again today.
Good. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
My pleasure. And again, to all of the listeners, I want you to know that if you're listening online and you have a question and you'd like to join the conversation, you just dial in at 347-324-5727. And if you're listening by phone, all you have to do is press 1, and I can bring you on board and you can ask your question and make your comment. First, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for all of the shares, people that are sharing the link. That's a very important part of this work, sharing it, getting it out so that people can hear it. And so to those who actually take the time to share, I thank you. To those who take the time to listen, I thank you as well. Please continue to do so. Well, we're going to, again, get into this night's discussion. We've been discussing the seven divisions of the spirit, and we're at the, I guess you would say, I don't want to say the top of the tree, but we're at the first division of the spirit. We've worked our way from the seventh division up to the first. We're at the first division of the spirit, and that is the Ba spirit, the Ba division of the spirit. But first, Orwai, was there anything that you wanted to preface this discussion with in terms of any discussion on the other divisions before we delve into the Ba?
Well, I think we should just try to summarize where we've come from, or where we're in this case, where we're going, or where we're, the goal of each and every one of our lives is to become a divine being, a God-man or God-woman. And that will be, in ancient times, in ancient Kemet, that was signified by being proclaimed an Ophir. And we have hundreds of records which have survived the hordes of people who've been assaulting the ancient Kemetic historical records, from the Christians to the Muslims, etc., who've gone in and burned books and burned libraries, etc. But we have hundreds of records which have survived, which show that there were many people of all walks of life who were proclaimed and Ophir by their peers as a course of their having overcame sin as a part of their life experiences, which is the goal of each of us. So each of our goals is to become known as an Ophir. But to become known as an Ophir means that one has awakened and functional knowledge and application to and of the Ba part of the spirit, which is the divine part of the spirit, or the highest aspect of the divine part of the spirit. So just a quick summary, we talked about seven divisions of the spirit, and from the bottom up, the seventh division of the spirit is what we call the physical body, but today called the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors understood that everything in science is gradually moving toward this understanding that everything is a reflection of energy and matter. And so what we call energy and matter is what they call spirit. So the physical body is an aspect of the spirit, a part of the spirit. And then we have the electromagnetic body, or the body of the energy body, which was called chi, or the body of Kundalini, or whatever, different tradition. In Ghana, amongst the Akan, it's called the Tsum Tsum. Amongst the Zulu, it's called the Itunzi. So we have different traditions throughout Africa who understand that the spirit has different gradations, different levels of functionality. Then from there, we go to the lower mental body, which we call the Kem, is called the Sahu. And understanding that these are all the dominant parts of the mind or the spirit, which dominate in animals, plants, minerals, and in humans. So because the Sahu is closely linked and is the next evolutionary step, if you will, from the animal spirit or the energy body, it is greatly influenced by the energy body. So Sahu Man, as we said, responds to things based on his senses, how they perceive through his senses, and conditioning of those perceptions. So if he likes something or dislikes something, then he responds to it accordingly based on the external expression of the thing itself, or his external understanding of the thing itself. And then the next level is the Eb, and ancient Kemet is called the Eb, which is the part of the spirit through which, or in which, we begin to overcome the limitations of the animal and the human mind, the animal and human parts of the brain, and begin to cultivate and develop the higher parts of the brain, which the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain which gives the ability to control the emotions and sensual expressions that operate through the animal parts of the brain, the reptilian part of the brain, and the mammalian part of the brain. In ancient Kemet, the parts of the brain, the Ophir, was referred to as what we today call the reptilian part of the brain was called OTEP, and SET is what we today call the animal or mammalian part of the brain. Excuse me. So it's within the VA that we begin to challenge the control of the decisions from the animal part of the and now begin to wrestle and cultivation of the opening the door to the higher parts of the spirit, the divine parts of the spirit. So VA inside of the ebb becomes then the proving ground, if you will. Once one is no longer has the illusion that it's how things appear to the senses that's most important. Well, I like the something or dislike the something. I like the way it looks, like the way it touches, like the way it sounds, like the way it feels, like the way it smells. Once I move to understand that this should not be this has no bearing on the truth and value of something, then I begin to challenge those assumptions in the Ba part, I'm sorry, the Ed part of the spirit. And so the Ed part of the spirit begin to look at life from experiences of life from the value of the things themselves, the principles that undergird the things themselves, as opposed to how these things appear to the external senses. So begin to analyze and synthesize and reason to come up with a clear understanding of what the true value of something is, or its foundation in truth. And we said that to evolve through the air part of the spirit, one has to be able to pass the challenge of the weighing of the heart. And the weighing of the heart meaning that the heart being symbolic of what moves me, what the passions, etc. Once I can steel my heart, make my heart as light as a feather, then meaning I'm no longer allowing my emotions and senses and the external qualities of something to dictate how I engage with it. Once I begin to identify what's the true value of something and begin to live based on the value of that thing itself, then I begin to cultivate, open the door to the cultivation of the higher parts of my spirit. Now, the weighing of the heart is what takes place at the Ma'at stage. So the feather is the symbol of Ma'at, not the symbol of living truth. I mean, I've identified it. This thing has value or does not have value. And based on that assumption, based on that understanding, based on my ability to see the true value of something, and I'm using the word, this word is not just an arbitrary choice, because the air part of the spirit is the part of the spirit which we begin to be able to see the value of something, meaning, and that's rooted in the understanding that in the Kemetic language, the word ma'al is a verb which means to see as well. So to know truth, one must live it, meaning I must see it and act upon that sight. It's also symbolized by the fact that it's the sun which is the governing planetary energy, metaphorically speaking, of this part of the spirit. So in the sun, we know is the element, is the entity which provides light. And so light enables sight. So my ability to see something is based on the illumination, so the brilliance of something, the spirit being illuminated, being opened up to the light, and following the light, living according to that light, there's the final test, or the test propels a person toward awakening the divine part of the spirit. So once I pass this, and we're talking about Ma'at being the symbol of the swaying of the heart, the Eb is the term, actually means heart. So the spiritual heart is that part which is no longer dominated by the animal part of the spirit, and now it's dominated by truth.
But
now,
can a person...
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Can a person be in more than one, their consciousness be, I guess, for lack of a better, maybe I'm not phrasing it right, but can a person's consciousness be centralized, I guess, in more than one division, because I'll just try to use an example. I don't know if it's a good one, but, you know, let's just say, for example, somebody meets a woman, okay, a guy meets a woman, and maybe according to the world's standard, you know, maybe society standard, she might not be as pretty or beautiful or whatever as, you know, meet the criteria that the society has placed on beauty, but he may see the value in her. This is a good woman, you know, and he might feel like, okay, you know, despite the fact that she might not be what the world may consider gorgeous or whatever, you know, I can see she's got a wonderful heart, she's sweet, she's spiritual, you know, he can see other qualities that would lend him to just, you know, ignore the other, you know, society standard, and he can see the beauty in it. But this same man might still act very selfishly towards the person that he sees the value in, you know, which would be, I guess, a Sahu issue, whereas him being able to see the true value in her would maybe be an Ab or an Eb quality. So could a person be in more than one division at the same time?
Well, it's not that you're in. It's like this. Let me give you a good analogy. If you ever watch a child beginning to move toward walking, there's a period of time when the child will crawl, and then they will try to walk. They'll fall, they'll crawl, they'll try to walk. So they'll keep going back and forth until they can fully handle the walking aspect of it, meaning that as a person is evolving, This, what you're talking about is summarized in the story of Heru. Heru is the son of Osir and Oset, and his role was to come into the world. He was divinely, let me say, he was immaculately conceived, and he came in to avenge, quote unquote, his father's kingdom, or actually to not avenge his father's kingdom, but to reclaim his father's kingdom, which had been usurped by his uncle Set. Now, Set was referred to as, we talked about that in terms of the domination of the animal parts of the spirit. So there was a period of time within the context of the Osir story, there was a person who had awakened their divinity, Osir, and he had a brother who functioned out of the animal parts of the brain, or the lower parts of the brain. And the lower parts of the brain are moved by, again, and dominated by the energies of the animal parts of the spirit. So emotion, sensation, greed, lust, jealousy, etc., were all these things that dominated Set. And so Set then marshaled the force of his cunning and his might, and he murdered Osir, and he dispersed the people of Osir throughout the kingdom, and that, which is symbolic of the breaking up the oneness, dividing up the wholeness of life. And so Osir, the wife of Osir, then had it her charge to reclaiming or remembering, putting back together the body of Osir, reestablishing the foundation for wholeness or oneness or love or unity or God to come back into the world. But she couldn't do it alone, so she had to, she inaccurately conceived the son. And the son then was to come back and become the avatar, if you will, to reestablish righteousness as the way of life, reestablish the God-man and God-woman as the goal of life, as opposed to the energies and dominance of Set, which was about promoting the individual as opposed to the whole. So then, but during the course of his maturation, Heru goes through this period of back and forth in terms of relying on the animal parts of his spirit, his emotions and sensations, etc., and at the same time trying to defeat the master of emotion and sensation, which is his uncle Set. And if, you know, there's an old saying that you can't beat someone at their own game. So if Set has taught the world these qualities, if he's the master, the best you can hope for is a stalemate, which is what Heru ends up with. Some days he's on top, some days he's on bottom, which is symbolic of the challenge that we each face each and every time we are called upon to live truth in regards to any situation. There's some situations where we're going to do the right thing, we're going to follow what's true, our heart's going to be as light as a feather, and there might be some situations where we're not going to do that, we're going to fall down. But ultimately, fourth vision spirit becomes fully developed within us. Then, you know, once you learn to walk, you don't go back and crawl. You know, you continue on your upward movement, your movement forward, your striding. So,
correct.
A person, until we master walking, then we're going to have moments where we are walking, we fall down, we get back up, we walk some more, we fall down, we get back up. But ultimately, if we keep working at it, we're going to master walking, our heart's going to become as light as a feather, we're going to pass the test, and we'll evolve on into the divine part of the spirit, which is made up of three different spiritual faculties. That's the third division of spirit, which is the faculty of omnipotence. It's the faculty through which we're able to divine power of our being. And at this point, I realize that you use the word conscious. We haven't discussed that in terms of the summary, but consciousness is only one consciousness, which is indivisible. And that consciousness is what we call God, it's the supreme being, or it's our true self. It's what our ancestors meant when they wrote on the temple, know thyself. The self that they're referring to is not my person. It's not the guy that goes to school, the guy that, you know, gets a job, the guy that does this and that. It's the conscious, the divine essence within me that I'm seeking to provide a vehicle to allow to become the dominant force within our idea and functional part of my being. So when it said know myself, it's talking about awakening, cultivating my spirit so that the God that's the essence of my being can come through and function in the world as a living God man or God woman. So the third division of the spirit is the Shechem, or the power part of the spirit. The second division of the spirit is the Ku, or the wisdom faculty, that the ability to know what is truth in any given situation. And until that part of the spirit is cultivated, as we discussed last week, our ancestors put in place technologies that allow us to communicate, access that wisdom bank to guide us in the cultivation and development of our spirit through our life's experiences. And those become the major oracles that we use in the world. We personally use within the Zeta Society, we use the Unitarian Oracle and the Eugene Oracle as our primary access to that window. But there's oracles that operate on that level in other parts of the world as well, especially in Africa and West Africa, where you have the Fa or Ifa divination system that many people are familiar with. So that's the second division of the spirit. So the first division of the spirit is the Ba, which is called the divine part of the spirit. It is the part of the spirit wherein the consciousness of the supreme being, which is our true self, is able to express itself unadulteratedly, meaning it's the faculty of oneness or unity. Now, what do we mean by unity? You know, there's a big thing within the African-American community talking about the need for unity within the community. Right? It's been a common chant for years. But what unity is not what the unity that they're using in that chant is not the same unity that we're speaking of here. Because true unity is based on the understanding that everything is a part of one entity. The unit is only one. There is not a unity of black people, a unity of white people, a unity of Chinese people, etc. Of all creation, there is but one. And every every aspect of creation is a part of this one unit. So even though there are different quote-unquote races within the human experience, true unity is the understanding that all are a reflection of the divinity, that God is functioning through all. And it's just not man, it's not the races, but unity is the understanding that everything that's created is a part of God's body. These seven divisions of the spirit, what we call the seven divisions of the spirit, are not man's spirit alone, they're also God's spirit. So God and man are the same, one and the same. When they say man was made in the likeness and image of God, that means that God is a divine being, then so too is man a divine being, as Shem Meshach said in the Divinity of 3. So if we are divine beings by nature, if that's our nature, then the whole goal of life is the process of awakening that divinity so we can live to the fullness of our potential, so we can become the God-men and God-women that we are destined to be. And it's when we awaken the Baal part of the spirit where we begin to experience what true oneness is. Let's try to see if we can use an analogy. Since we're not there, we need something that can help us maybe see what it might look like when we get there. Let's use the analogy of our body, the body that we have, the physical body. Now, the physical body is made up of billions of different cells. There's different types of cells which have different functions, different demands, different opportunities, different expressions, different lifespans, etc. All of these cells work together to serve the one body. Excuse me. When something, when a cell or a group of cells is not functioning in concert with the other cells, then that leads us to disunity in the body, or what we call dis-ease in the body. So ease or peace within the context of the human body is when every cell, no matter what type of cell it is performing its role within the context of the overall operation of the body. Now, if I look at the world from that perspective, then I can see that everything Ma'at represents the interdependency and interrelationship of life, right? The law of Ma'at says that God needs me to come into the world. And fulfilling that need is the highest aspect of love, which is saying what? That God cannot come into the world which is not wholesome in its fullness. The only way that God can come into the world in its fullness is through a spirit that has been cultivated to understand the interconnections, the interrelationships, and then that dynamic of the whole. If I come into the world and I'm constantly looking at things from my own personal perspective, what's in it for me, et cetera, I will still seek advantage over others because I see myself as separate from them. It's only when I can understand that we're all one, not as a good song title, but it's a reality, that until I live the reality that there is a oneness of life, you know, you can use the web of life or circle of life or whatever term you want to use. Until I can understand that there's a oneness of life and everything, and I have a role within that oneness to maintain that oneness and not to do anything which is going to undermine that oneness, then I will, the God cannot function in the world. And our ancestors in Kemet, they pin this in the scriptures that talk about creation of the world. The first thing that God created was Ma'ah, or the law. And this is that upon this rock, Ma'ah, I stand. And from that standpoint, then all creation took place. So law, the inner relationship, the inner dynamics, and the inner connections of everything that's in the world is the foundation of oneness. And if I don't live according to the law, then if I'm violating the law, then I'm undermining the oneness. Hence, I cannot be become a God man or a God woman. So the 11 laws that we talked about are the critical aspects, the critical measuring stick of how I am awakening or cultivating or developing the spirit that God needs to come into the world. And once I've lived according to these 11 laws, the highest part of the spirit, the Ba part of the spirit, is functional. Then I'm able to function, live in the world as God, as a God, as a divine being. And hence, I understand what true unity is because I'm living true unity. Meaning, I'm not going to cut my nose off to spite my face, so to speak. I understand that everything is a part of what's needed in the body. All the body functions have a role. So I'm not going to undermine any aspect of the body, but I'm going to support every aspect and fulfilling its destiny, fulfilling its role within the context of the whole. So a divine, an affair, is a person who has no enemies because there is but one. He understands, or she understands, that all is an expression of one consciousness. And that the different parts, the different aspects of the spirit are just different vehicles through which that one consciousness is focused at a particular point. So in Ra, which is the Kemetic term for the spirit, the daughter of Ra is Maat, meaning that Maat is the, if you want the keys to the kingdom, if you want the keys to the treasury, you want the keys to the inheritance of the father, you go through the daughter. So once I'm able to understand and live the divine law, then that opens me up to the power and majesty of the spirit of Ra. So at that point, then I can become the vessel which can allow the fullness of the divine expression in the world. And at that point, I'm functioning through the Ba part of my spirit. I am an Ophir.
So when someone becomes an Ophir, they've done the work, they actually are consciously doing the work. I mean, because, you know, we know of, with the Osirian initiation, for example, you know, at night, you know, the person is consciously declaring that they have not done this, they have not done that, they have not, they're living truth, they're living according to the laws, and constantly progressing up through the different levels or divisions of the spirit. When they actually reach the Osir stage, is it like when we talk about consciousness, being aware that it's conscious, when a person reaches the Osir stage, does that individual know that they are an Osir? I mean, no ego involved in them saying that, you know, just, but are they clear that they have reached that division or moved into that division of consciousness?
Oh, yeah. You can't, I mean, it's like you driving a car. Are you aware that you're driving a car? Unless you're asleep and dreaming, then you're focused on the fact that this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, and you're going to function accordingly. So a person, once you've cultivated, once you've awakened that vehicle, then you have the mastery of the vehicle. You can utilize the vehicle, and you experience the world through that vehicle. So that's how, you know, the forces of disintegration no longer are there to interfere in your life, because you have the ability to not just understand that everything is a oneness, but to live that oneness.
And when a person becomes an Osir, is their job at that point to teach, to help uplift mankind or humanity, or the planet, you know, to just share the information that they've learned, to help others to move into that sphere of awareness, and ultimately to lead them to, or at least point the way for them to, you know, tread a path to their own divinity.
Yes, and there's something we haven't really talked about, but and implied in this whole discussion is the concept, or not the concept, the experience of reincarnation.
Okay.
And that as we're evolving up to the cultivating different parts of the spirit within different lifetimes, there's the need to, and we kind of mentioned this in a previous discussion, that the majority of people will not achieve Osir within one lifetime. Theoretically, it's possible, but no, really, it takes several lifetimes to perfect the spirit, which is what we're talking about here, the perfection of the spirit. Takes several lifetimes to go through this. Now, as we and that there at some point, once you reach the cool part of the spirit, the demand for reincarnating into the world is removed, meaning that the goal of each person's life is to awaken the seven divisions of spirit. Once you achieve the level to the second division of the spirit, then you come back into the world at your own will, as a result of your will, in order to help to the evolution of other aspects of your spirit, other aspects of consciousness, or other parts. It's bad language because there's no such thing as other part aspects of consciousness, but to help your consciousness evolve into its true understanding of itself through the different levels of spirit that it expresses itself in, which is the proper way to say it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that becomes the, you evolve beyond the will of rebirth at some point around the second division of the spirit. So a person who comes back into the world, then these are the sages of lore who come into the world for the express purpose of sowing the seed and helping others who are ready to move through this maze, helping others to navigate. Because, again, everyone needs a teacher. You know, you just don't, if it was, they know saying if it was easy, everyone would do it. Well, most people don't know that there is yet to do. Most people have no clue that there are seven divisions of spirit. Most people have no clue that the goal of life is to truly know thyself, meaning to awaken the divinity within. And so that there are people, because the cultures of the world, unfortunately, most of the dominant cultures of the world at this point do not formulate that as a foundational tenet of their society. Now, even within traditional societies, quote-unquote, traditional societies in Africa, et cetera, there's always going to be levels of understanding of where we are in the process of spiritual cultivation. There's always going to be people who are at different levels of growth and different levels of understanding as to what that growth is reflective of. But within traditional societies, then there are social norms which are put in place to help mitigate against the challenges of the lower parts of the spirit dominating the cultivation of the individual. So even though everyone will not function as an Osir or even on the ebb level, the foundation for that to take place are there within the social norms of the community. To give an example, years ago, a friend of mine from Ghana was visiting, and I asked him, I think I had some cookies or cake or something, cookies, and I asked him, did he like something, because, you know, food, this was his first time to the U.S., so food was naturally a point of discussion, because, you know, different palate, different things here that he didn't have there. And so most people, when they travel, are, you know, they kind of gravitate toward what they know.
True.
And so I just assumed that, you know, I just assumed, I asked him, do you want a cookie? He said, no. I said, well, you don't have cookies in Ghana? He said, yeah, well, we have cookies, but that's something that only children would eat, meaning that the concept of eating based on sensual gratification was something that was in the culture that's frowned upon by adults, whereas in Western culture, you know, it becomes the dominant way people eat. People eat based on what they like. Not that people in Ghana don't eat what they like, but they also eat based on, there's a point in the growth where things are put into place. Meaning, when I was a child, I did childish things. Now I'm a man, I put away childish things. So, you know, the concept of eating things because of sleep and, you know, that kind of stuff was something that relegated the child part of the community. Whereas in where you become an adult, through the initiation rites of passage, et cetera, then you have a different perspective on what is proper behavior. And so there's social norms that are put in place to help move a person from one level of experience, the lower parts of the spirit, dominating their behavior, towards an understanding that there's a higher way that consciousness should function. And so it's built up in there. But within Western society, there is no such thing. You know, if you're going to make it out of this quagmire, it's because you bumped into something within your spirit from a previous lifetime is resonating with something that you've heard from somewhere, somebody. And so whereas within another a cultural system, there would be a societal institutions and norms put in place to help you migrate from where you are to where you want to go. But then Western society, if we're going to evolve beyond the dominance of the lower parts of the spirit, we have to find, first we have to understand that there's a lower parts of the spirit that are dominating. This is not normal, quote unquote. It's normal, but it's not normal if you want to evolve beyond where you are. You have to understand first that there is some place to go beyond where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a process, there are processes that you must engage in to cultivate the next level of experience. And so that becomes a challenge. So people who reach the second dimension of the spirit have now evolved beyond the demand for reincarnating to continue their spiritual evolution, and when they come back into the world to kind of help others, to be, you know, to say those things that you need to hear that will help move you toward where you need to go in order to become who you need to become.
Well, if you could talk about adversity for a moment, because that's a word that, you know, even as I just said that word, you know, I know some people's hair just stood up on the back of some people's neck. You know, that's a word that people just don't like, adversity. And the work that man needs to do to actually cultivate these different faculties within himself or herself to actually grow into the God man or God woman that we're all destined to be. Could you talk about the role of, and I put adversity in quotes, because, of course, if you actually grow from something, when you look back on it, it might not seem as much as an adversity as if, you know, at the beginning of that process that you have to deal with that situation, it might seem very, very daunting. But could you talk about adversity and its role in helping us to evolve? Because there has to be challenge. There has to be something that spurs you to do the work that's going to help you to evolve. Could you talk about that?
Well, adversity, if you want, we can analogize it to to weights. weights like in a gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that if you want to get stronger, you have to apply your will and your energy to the weight, the resistance of the weight itself. And by doing so, you're able to cultivate the strength within that particular part of the body, whatever it is. So if I'm on a stronger bicep, I have to grab a weight, a resistance. I mean, which is going to provide resistance. The weight, the resistance of gravity is going to work against my energy, my effort to exert the power to move this thing, lift this thing. But it's through exerting the power to taking on the challenge that I get stronger. So the same is true if I want to, once I understand that I need, some people don't understand they need to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people they say weights as obstacles. They're just things in the way, as opposed to an opportunity to develop something. So every time I need to develop something, there's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a resistance. I have to apply my will and my effort to overcoming that resistance. And I have to understand that that's the role that thing plays in my life. So there's going to be, quote-unquote, people who are, quote-unquote, obnoxious or difficult or whatever. But no, they're not obnoxious or difficult. They are by the opportunity for me to cultivate my divinity. Because to cultivate my divinity, I have to, again, strengthen my spirit. And something that is that poses a resistance or an obstacle means that my spirit is not strong. For example, if you put a feather in my way, I would brush right on through it because I've cultivated my spirit, my body, my strength to overcome that without any issue whatsoever. So if you put a 500-pound, rock in my way, boulder in my way, then it's not that I can't move it. It's only because I haven't cultivated my spirit, I haven't developed my strength to the point where I can overcome the resistance that boulder represents. So every situation in life is there to provide us with the opportunity to develop our spiritual muscle. And developing our spiritual muscle is strengthening our spirit, cultivating these different levels of the spirit. And by so doing, once I get to the Ba part of the spirit, then it's like the feather. It's just a weightless situation, which is why at that point, nothing is against. There is no obstacle. There is no obstruction. There is no adversity. Because I understand that everything is promoting the oneness of my being. It's like with my liver feel oppressed because it has to detoxify the apple that I eat when I eat it. Everything about the apple is not 100% good for you. There's toxins in that apple. There's things that have to be dealt with. And that's the liver's role, to detoxify. Does the liver see it as a challenge, as a difficulty, adversity? No, that's the role that it plays. That's the function of its being. So I have to begin to look at life from once I cultivate the bar part of my spirit, then everything is looked at from that perspective. Everything has a role to play. And as long as I'm living according to the laws of my being, then I can function within the context of whatever the role is that the other things play. So there's nothing against me. There's no adversity. There's no obstruction. There's no enemies. Everything is a part of my being.
This is very, very powerful information because I think if a lot of people actually looked at what you just said, the fact that there are no obstacles when you become Osea, no obstacles, no opposition, no enemies, no one's against you, every person, every situation is there to further your growth, further your evolution, then you can really embrace each situation peacefully because you know why, you know the purpose of it. You know, like you mentioned about the liver and its role in detoxifying, you know, taking on the, you know, dealing with the toxins of the body, you know, that is a, just dealing with that consciously is something that would help so many of us evolve probably at a faster rate if we, because it would take that whole, do you know what they did? Do you know what they said? I ain't going to let them get away with that, you know, that whole thing out of the situations when you know the function and the purpose of those situations. I have a question for you concerning sages. Does every, not community, but every culture get their own sage? Because, you know, we talked about earlier the oneness of man and, you know, the consciousness is the same in everybody, regardless of race. But does every race get their own deliverer of the message? You know, because the Chinese, of course, when we look at Chinese history, there's, you know, different sages of antiquity. You know, we currently are blessed to have a sage in the person of Sekhem Meshechem Ra Unefa Amen. You know, and there are other sages throughout history. Does each culture get their own sage so that that particular group of people can relate to that message?
Well, I would say yes. From the perspective of, you know, most people are more comfortable in their own skin, so to speak. It's a part of the evolutionary process. But at some point, you begin to evolve to the point where you understand that truth is truth regardless of who, where it's coming from, and you respond out of that truth. But sometimes you need a little crutch to get you to see that there's truth being spoken. And another good analogy in terms of the challenges, accepting the challenges and understanding that quote-unquote challenges are truly there to support development would be, you know, if you ever tried to a new exercise regimen, you know, the body is going to respond probably with some discomfort, some pain or soreness or whatever out of your exercise of this new regimen. So if you look at that situation from your perspective of, oh, this is uncomfortable, I don't like the soreness, you know, et cetera, and give up, then you stay where you are in terms of your cultivation of your strength. But if you plow through that challenge, we're recognizing that the pain, quote unquote, the discomfort, quote unquote, is there as a signature of the work that you're doing, and that once you get acclimated to that level of functioning, that it becomes it disappears and it reflects itself as more strength, more vitality. Then that's where we're trying to get to. You know, the circumstances of life are should be looked upon as just, quote unquote, the spirit getting stronger as we take on challenge, as we take on opportunity, as we take on circumstances and situations that come across. As long as we don't give up, and as long as we're moving toward our destiny, individual and collective destiny, becoming a divine man or woman, then the circumstances and situations that I'm going to come in contact with are going to be there to further that development. We got to make sure that it's within our destiny. What we're trying to do is within our destiny. Now, you can have problems, difficulties, et cetera, challenges, because you're going in the wrong direction. And at that point, it doesn't mean that you just necessarily try to plow through the challenge of difficulty, but you need a correction in your course. So if like right now, there's a big hurricane out down in Georgia, near Georgia. So now would not be time to take a rowboat out into the Atlantic, in Savannah.
You know, that's true.
But there might be some people who will try to do that. So, yeah, you're going to have some problems, but maybe it's because you're going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Everybody, my special guest is Orwa Hehi Metara in Comet. That's Orwa Dr. HR in Comet. We've got a few minutes left. If you want to squeeze in a question, you can just press 1 if you're on the line. If you are online, it's 347-324-5727. It's 347-324-5727. Speaking of rebirth, Brother Orwa, then, okay, we'll, for the sake of discussion, I mean, we both have the same belief or same knowledge that man comes back, man's back. Well, then if we were here before, then there's a possibility, well, not even a possibility, I mean, it's probably likely that we were all here back, I'm talking about a particular cultural group now, may have been around back in Egypt, may have helped build the pyramids, may have been pharaohs. Some of us may have been pharaohs or you know, lay people or, you know, builders or teachers or, you know, whatever the case is. And now here we are thousands of years later, and at some point in this incarnation, this comedic information falls upon our ears and it clicks, you know, it's like, you know, something happens within our spirit. It's like, that's it. You know, that's it. Is that, would that be part of that remembering that, you know, when you are drawn to something like, for example, this information, there are people out there that are drawn to this information, and would that be a sign that, hey, in a past life, in a past incarnation, you knew this, and now it's coming back to you to, I guess, further your growth?
Yes, it definitely can be. And in many cases, it is. And, you know, that's pretty much states itself. Yeah, we you know, the old saying, there's a old saying that says when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Yes.
Which is true. I mean, in the Bible, Jesus said, don't cast your pearl to swine.
Yes.
Meaning, give pearl to people who can appreciate pearl. You know,
mm-hmm.
Pigs don't appreciate pearl. You know, they're going to try to eat it and poop it out or whatever. They're not going to understand
right.
the true value of the mineral itself. So, you know, as we're, and sometimes it's just that all in this particular lifetime, it might just be the reintroduction of the concept that is the goal. Again, because we're all at different levels and different stages in terms of our growth and development. Some of us, this may be the lifetime where we evolve on into the next level. Some of us, this is the lifetime where we begin to lay this groundwork for the evolution which will take place in the next lifetime. So as long as we're seeking truth and then seeking to live that truth, then we're going to be put in circumstances and situations which are going to further our cultivation of our spirit, which will allow us to become the God-man or God-woman that we're destined to be.
So do we pick up where we left off, for example, where, you know, were someone to, you know, make the transition today and they were Sahu, when they come back, is that where they're going to begin their journey?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's just like school. If you fail the third grade, you're not going to come back in the sixth grade.
Gotcha.
If you pass the third grade, you're not going to come back in the sixth grade. You may come in the fourth grade.
Right.
Now, you may accelerate through where it may take a year for some students to master the material of fourth grade. Some other students might be able to master fourth and fifth grade in 1 year. So it's based on foundations that we laid in the previous lifetime as to how, and then the opportunities and circumstances that we come into this current lifetime into that will give us the help to mark, serve as the markers for where we're going to end up or where we can potentially end up during the course of this lifetime.
Brother Orwa, this has been a fabulous series, and I know this was the first division of spirit. Everybody, we started from the bottom, the seventh division, and worked our way up. So this is it. I hate that the series is ending. You know, any parting words for our listeners? I mean, just concerning everything that we've talked about. Again, you know, the seven divisions of the spirit. This was a fabulous, fabulous series, and I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to the archives. I'm looking at the numbers. Everybody, you should start with the first one, and then go to the second part two, and work your way through the shows. I'm looking at certain numbers that, for example, are growing, and it's like others aren't growing at the same level. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, you should be listening. You should be, number four shouldn't be growing at a faster rate than, say, number two. Number two should have more listens than number four. So please go in order so that you can make sure that you get everything and can digest everything, and so that when you walk away with everything in its proper context. Brother Orwa, any words that you would like to leave our listeners as it relates to the series that we've just completed?
Yeah, well, to get the most out of this information, again, the initiation process and program is critical. So I urge everyone to initiation course, it's an online course that will give you the opportunities and experiences and intellectual underpinnings that will allow for the appreciation of the experiences that we're confronted with and the guidelines on how to address those experiences through manipulation, understanding, living the 11 laws, which are foundational in terms of the evolution and cultivation of the divine being within the divine self, within the person. And furthermore, I would urge people to get the Medina Terra series, and because that's where an hour about something that, you know, whole chapters have been dedicated to. So we're not going to cover anything adequately. This is more a situation to spark an interest and to guide the person toward seeking out deeper understanding and deeper application, which is what the text would be on the entire text and the initiation program.
Brother Orwa, just I want to again take a moment to just thank you for all of the work that you've done, will continue to do, and in the midst of all of that work, taking time out and finding time to come on and to share this information with my listeners. I know I personally grow so much from these shows. I go back and listen to them myself, and I encourage everybody else to do that and to make sure that you check out the archives. Again, we wouldn't even be having this discussion if it wasn't for Shechem Meshechem Rahunefer Amen, who is the author of the Medina Terra series. And we've got shows with him in the archives. Again, we've did shows with him on his book Stress Free for Life. That's in the archives. We've done shows with him on his book The Uchat Medu, The Weighing of the Words. That's Medina Terra Volume 7. We've also done a show with him on Waeb, Heal and Enhance Your Brain Through Kemetic Meditation. We've got other shows with different priests and priestesses of the Aseraset Society. The gentleman you heard this evening, Orwa Hehimetura and Comet. We've done shows with him. As this show concludes the series on the seven divisions of the spirit. We've also done shows, a series on the 11 laws of God. We've got shows on I Ching, God Knows Best with Orwa. He did a show on his book, African Names. You definitely want to check that out. And you can actually purchase these books that we're mentioning by going to the Tawi Network. And there's that www.tawinetwork.biz. Is that Orwa?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody, make sure you do that. If you're not in possession of these books, definitely get those, and they can still pick up, they can still purchase your book, African Names, at the same website?
Yes, I believe it is in stock there. If not, they can contact us here, and we can get it to them.
Okay.
As
if
well
you,
as,
oh, then take down this number, everybody, 202-723-5566. Again, that's 202-723-5566. That will connect you with the D.C. Sinbab, I believe. That's Sinbab. That's the number to Sinbab Cafe, correct?
Co-op, uh-huh.
Okay, so you can definitely check with them if you're in the Washington, D.C. area and you want to know whether or not you can pick up African Names, and they may carry some of the other titles that we mentioned as well. We've also done shows with Hexham Suheru, Shechem Mayim Neter, on different aspects of Kemetic spirituality, the solstices and the equinoxes. You want to check those out. Sa'anktaku Nenebu, or what? I'm sorry, Shechemt. Sa'anktaku Nenebu, done powerful, powerful shows on the winter solstice. Those are in the archives. Just countless, countless shows with awesome, awesome guests. So definitely I encourage you, if you're into Kemetic spirituality and you don't want to just be, quote, into it, end quote, but actually want to live it, because as Orwa said during the show, to know truth, you must live it. So I guarantee you that you're going to find a show in the archives that you like, and I encourage you to please share these links. Okay, if you listen and you're a regular listener and you go back and you listen to a show over and over and over again like I do, and these numbers are growing, they could double, they could triple if you just share the link with somebody that you know would be interested in it, because we're trying to make this world better. We don't want to just keep this information to ourselves. We're trying to share it so that we can all grow and become divine together. So, Brother Owa, again, I can't thank you enough, sir. It's truly been an honor and a pleasure to. I've been looking forward every week. I look forward to Friday because I know that I was going to have an opportunity to speak with you again, and I've grown so much from this series. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That's it. Yes, sir. That's it. Everybody, that is Orwa, Hehi, Metara, and Comet. Again, make sure that if you don't have an African name and you have, you know, really thought about it and said, you know what, I think it's time for me now to take one, you know, definitely check out his book. It's called African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. That's by Orwa Hehi Metara in Comet. So you can check that out at, see if they have it at TawiNetwork.biz. That's www.TawiNetwork.biz. See if they have it there. If you're in the D.C. area and you want to check and see if they have it in this area, then just dial 202-723-5566. Again, that's 202-723-5566. This has been a powerful, powerful series. I have truly enjoyed my brother. I have looked so forward to these Fridays that I am really, really wishing that it can continue, you know. But, you know, he's got other things that he's doing, and he's teaching, and he's, you know, helping to make this planet better. Again, special, special shout-out to Shechem and Shechem, Ra'u Nefer Amen, the first, just for everything. I mean, what can you say? For all of the books, for all of the patience with us, for everything, for all of the lectures, for all of the information, for all of the love, say Tu'ahu, Tu'ahu, Tu'ah Neter. Everybody, I want to thank you. To all of the members of the Osereset Society, to all of the priests, to all of the priestesses, to all of the Shechems, to all of the Shechems, to all of the Orwas and the Orwats, I want to say Du'ahu. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything. To all of the listeners who share these links, you know who you are, thank you. Tu'ah, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. You're doing the work in just sharing. You're helping to make this planet better. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy, and thank you for your feedback. And if you'd like to comment, let me know how you're enjoying the shows. You can do that through Blog Talk. Okay, there's a place where you can actually send me a message and let me know if you're liking the show, if you have any recommendations for guests even. Let me know, okay? My name is Jawanza, and I thank you so much for your time. Who am I? I am the one who in giving receives more. Who are you?